It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. Great to have you with us. I'm Dennis O'Hare. President Trump's executive order suspending refugee resettlement for 4 months and suspending entry by citizens of 7 Muslim nations continues to spark strong reaction on all sides. Michelle Nunn is the president and CEO of Atlanta-based CARE, the international relief organization, and she joins us now. Ms. Nunn, welcome back.
Thanks, Dennis. Good to be with you.
First, to clarify for anyone who heard that an organization called CARE has filed a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of the president's order, that is not your organization. That's the Council on American-Islamic Relations, which has an acronym that's pronounced exactly the same way, correct?
That is correct. Thanks for that clarification.
So you are not challenging the president's order?
We are not suing the president. We are challenging the order and joining with advocates and supporters of CARE around the country and around the world who believe that this is not in the tradition of American greatness and humanitarian leadership.
But on a call to supporters, an email call to supporters, you actually said that this is harmful and un-American. Why does it go that far in your view?
I think America at its best has always stood for, first of all, being a leader from a humanitarian perspective. CARE, as an example, was founded after World War II, and we were literally a group of citizens who were sending care packages to refugees in post-World War II Europe. And in fact, we're sending them to our former enemies. And so I think that America has, again, at its best, stood for, first of all, reaching out from a humanitarian and moral imperative to those who are suffering and vulnerable, and also doing so with absolute non-discrimination and with the belief that we should judge people based upon, for instance, as refugees, are they vulnerable? Would they be in danger in their country? And that's the criteria that we have used over decades and that has served this country well and has served, I think, the world well.
Has the executive order, though, affected workers in the places you serve?
Well, just as an example, Dennis, I mean, CARE is an international organization. We have employees from around the world. In the first 48 hours, I had a minister of one of the countries that was coming to visit us in Atlanta to talk about girls' education, could not enter into the country. And we had one of our chief humanitarian officers who happens to be from Sudan who could not travel to do emergency relief in those first few days of confusion. So it definitely affects a global humanitarian organization like CARE. It has real impacts for our staff, for our capacity to do the humanitarian work that is so important and vital and life-saving. And certainly it has huge impact on the refugees that were waiting and have been through years of vetting and that are, you know, in line to come to the United States.
Couldn't it be argued, though, that in the long run, if this helps in the battle against terrorism, this would make everyone safer and make it easier for organizations like CARE to do their work?
Well, there's no evidence at all that this is actually going to help in the long run. In fact, a group of national security experts came together and said that this is actually more likely to hurt in the long run. And just as an example, you know, potentially you have countries like Jordan and Lebanon and Turkey that are accepting millions of refugees right now. And if the United States is not willing to take any of our share of that global responsibility, where does that leave our moral authority in asking these countries that are, by the way, much less economically secure and secure from a conflict perspective than the United States, to take on this responsibility? And what does that mean for literally millions of displaced people and, for example, a lost generation of Syrian children who don't have the opportunity to have school, education, jobs? You know, how does that affect our national security and how does that affect the goodwill that America has traditionally held in so many places around the world?
But except in the case of Syria, the ban, at least so far, is a temporary one, several months. So what would you say to someone who argues, okay, let's everybody on all sides take a deep breath here. Let's see what we're able to put in place during the time of the suspension. And then it could be lifted and the long-term damage would be relatively small and perhaps the overall benefit would actually make it worth it.
Well, I think we have to recall that refugees are the most vetted of any population that that comes to the United States or that has the opportunity to enter into any other country. They go through literally years of vetting. So there has been no clarification around what additional vetting will be provided and that would actually be useful and helpful. In addition, we're talking about people who have already been waiting for years, and now there's an indefinite suspension, at least for Syrian refugees, which we know is the greatest humanitarian crisis that we've had since World War II. And if you think about, again, those that literally are now displaced and potentially in danger if they're being sent back to their country, we know that many in Iraq who served courageously with our American forces are literally going to have to go back to a place where they are potentially in danger. So I think without any concrete evidence of this actually increasing our security, what we know is that it actually diminishes our long-term goodwill and our capacity to lead as a humanitarian nation.
If Syrian refugees are sent back to their country, is CARE prepared to follow up with them? Is there any way that you could help them as they return?
Well, there's over 4 million people that are displaced and outside of Syria as refugees. And then there are over 6 million people in Syria that are displaced currently. I think CARE will continue to do its work in helping with education, with food vouchers, with shelter, in, again, the places outside of Syria. And we work through partners in Syria. So we are absolutely committed to supporting refugees and, you know, are asking Americans of goodwill to stand with us in the great tradition of, for instance, our post-World War II leadership, which we firmly believe has led to a more secure and economically vibrant world.
Have you tried to get in touch with the president or anyone in the administration?
Well, CARE is one of a coalition of organizations that's sending petitions to Congress and asking members, and certainly have made our positions known from the perspective of public advocacy, and we'll continue to do so. And we'll continue to work with members of the administration who are interested in listening and reflecting upon some of the arguments for why this ban needs to be lifted.
Here in Georgia, Senator Johnny Isaacson, a Republican, and Congressman David Scott, a Democrat, issued different statements, but basically saying they agreed with the idea of increased vetting, but they felt that the order itself wasn't put together very well and perhaps would have unintended consequences. I'm paraphrasing both of their statements here. But do you think the problem is with the way it was done or with the order itself?
Well, I think CARE believes it's both. We are confident that there will be unintended consequences in terms of its implementation, but we also would ask for, you know, a real focus on the vetting that has already been secured and that is already a clear provision. Everybody wants to ensure the safety of Americans, but we do have to think about what is the best way of doing that, and is this particular order the best way of doing that? And again, I think that we believe that when America is at its greatest and at its best and acting from a humanitarian perspective, that it actually over the long run means that we are also more secure.
So where does CARE go from here in responding to what might be the new reality for quite a while?
Well, CARE will continue to do our work of literally saving lives and trying to overcome and defeat poverty and to work for social justice. We will do that in 95 different countries around the world. And we'll also stand in solidarity with refugees around the world. There are over 65 million people who are displaced, a historic high. We will continue to support and serve them wherever they are. And we'll also continue to stand with advocates around our country, with citizens and volunteers who believe that America's role, as we have traditionally been the country that has accepted the most refugees, and we can see the extraordinary vibrancy of what they bring from an economic perspective, from an entrepreneurship perspective, from a scientific perspective. And we'll continue to stand with those people wherever they are, and we'll continue to work to ensure that America leads in a way that is, I think, commensurate with our historic and visionary position in the world.
One quick final thought, and you mentioned that CARE is working with Syrian refugees outside of Syria. That's been the case for a while. Are you thinking that you'll be able to, at some point, go in-country?
Well, we believe that ultimately the answer to this humanitarian crisis is for the end of the conflict and the diplomatic engagement to ensure the end of that conflict. And we do hope that we will be able to support the people of Syria in Syria. At this juncture, we are working through partners to support those vulnerable, displaced, the people that we see in the news who are innocent, but who are literally losing their lives and certainly their homes and livelihoods. And then we will also continue to support those refugees outside of Syria who are just trying to rebuild their lives and who I think we all can relate to. They're school teachers and lawyers. And by the way, the majority of them are women and children.
Michelle Nunn is president and CEO of Atlanta-based CARE. Ms. Nunn, thanks so much for being with us again, and we really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for the opportunity, Dennis.